Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Today is Tuesday, May 19th, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 38, the third paragraph. Some of you are thinking, and we are reading through that one paragraph, which ends, "Thanks for the information." And we're commenting on one paragraph. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, we have Adrian N., 12 Traditions, and Marie M. And then our readers of the text will be Leah S. and Alice G. And then Judy N. is our backup reader this morning. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, May 18th, are for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,468. That is 23,468. And then for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,469. So that is 23,469. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Adrian N. to please read the 12 steps for us.
The 12th step. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Adrian. And then I'll now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. A public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Anne-Marie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. All right, so today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 38, the third paragraph that begins, "Some of you are thinking," and we are reading through that one paragraph that ends, "Thanks for the information." So I will ask Leah S. to begin reading for us. Good morning, Leah.
Thank you so much. My name is Leah S. I'm recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. Some of you are thinking, yes, what you tell us is true, but it doesn't fully apply. We admit we have some of the symptoms of these symptoms, but we have not gone to the extremes you fellows did, nor are we likely to, for we understand ourselves so well after what you have told us that such things cannot happen again. We have not lost everything in life through drinking, and we certainly do not intend to. Thanks for the information. What denial? Oh my goodness. Okay. So it reminds me of myself. When I came in here, I came for a diet. I really did. And if I want to find myself and find out what kind of compulsive overeater I am, I had to read again and again the chapter, We Agnostics, and find what kind of an overeater I am on, let's see, which is the page? Okay, on page 29. We just read that before, whatever. But the whole book is like talking about it. They're talking about this. They're talking about this, that we hope that you will not live in your illusion or your insanity or stay in that insanity. It's really pretty simple, but you can't complicate everything that you think you know or that you assume happens. Just follow it and keep to the simple facts. And the simple really, really gets you to where you're supposed to be. And each day to more where you're supposed to be. That's all that I have to say about this. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. in New York, for getting us started this morning. All right, so although we do value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday, please hang back and let us hear some other voices. So if you would like to share this morning, go ahead and give me your name.
Melissa C.
Melissa?
DL from Indiana.
I heard someone S, and then I heard someone from Indiana. So could the person with the S initial give me your first name again?
Yep, that's Sophie S in Tennessee.
Gotcha. Sophie, and then I got someone in Indiana. Could you give me your name again?
DL from Indiana.
DL. Got you. Thanks. All right. Who else would like to share?
Ken W. H.
Gotcha, Ken.
Ann M., North Carolina.
Gotcha, Ann.
Allison B., Florida.
Gotcha, Allison. Anyone else want to hop in on this first lineup?
Madeline H.
Gotcha, Madeline. All right. Let's go with this. So here's who I have. I've got Melissa C, Sophie S, DL, Ken WH, and M, Allison B, and Madeline H. So we'll get started with Melissa. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New York. And, you know, I read this paragraph and it's, what was the information that I was given? And, you know, and why was it I thought that I would not have to go as far as other people went? And I think for me, it was, you know, why didn't I think I was going to have to go as far as other people went? Because I had a puffed up a belief in myself. You know, I didn't understand real powerlessness. I thought, give me some information and I could put the information into application. And that seemed like that worked in many other areas of my life. Inform me of something. And then, okay, I'll like follow that, you know, if I choose to, right? But when you're powerless, it means that even having information, I can't act upon it, you know? And so my early experiences, I think like many people, I came in young. You know, my first crack at OA, I was in my early 20s, and I really thought my problem was that I just ate too much food, and I needed to lose weight. You know, my life was not going in the direction I wanted. I had goals and aspirations, and obesity was standing in the way of it. And so I came to Overeaters Anonymous, and the information I got was about the allergy of the body, and that this was a disease. And I remember it blew my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, that's the answer. I just will never eat X, Y, and Z again, and I will be fine. And here's the truth. It worked until it didn't. You know, until I did have to go as far as those other people went. And I remember, like, being in my early 20s, I looked at the people, I'm laughing because they were in their 40s. And I thought, oh, my God, what are these old people? Like, you know, I don't want to be like that. I wanted to just lose the weight, take that information, ride off into the sunset, and never wanted to really form a connection with God. God had nothing to do with my food, I thought, you know, and certainly I wasn't interested in being of service. I wanted what I wanted. And the truth is, it didn't work. It worked until it didn't work. I lost weight. I got the things I wanted. And then I came back, you know, many years later, just as bad as everyone else, or perhaps worse. You know, information was not enough for a transformation. And I'm really grateful to know that today, because today I can put, you know, the things I've learned in this program into application, so long as I have a reliance on a power greater than myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Melissa C. in New York. And then next up, we have Sophie S., followed by DL. Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning. Thanks for calling on me, and thanks, everybody, doing service this morning. So grateful to be here with you all. I'm just chuckling to myself this morning because, you know, I, maybe not in these exact words, but I definitely said at my first couple meetings, you know, yes, what you tell me is true, but it doesn't fully apply to me. And it's funny to think about that because it absolutely did. But, you know, I'm not someone, at least at this point, that super significant weight gain is a part of my story. And I was showing up to meetings comparing rather than identifying, right? And I was listening to people talk about all of this weight that they lost, or like the previous speaker was saying, you know, I saw people who are a lot older than me, whose lives look nothing like me, and I thought I was special and I was different. And, you know, I mean, of course, I was also failing to mention that, yes, maybe significant weight gain was a part of my story, but if I wasn't bulimic or, you know, restricting my food, who knows what would have happened. But I wasn't ready to admit that I was doing any of that. But yeah, I could identify with the allergy and understanding that when I put certain foods in my body, I have an abnormal reaction, a different reaction than normal eaters, that there are just certain foods that I have no business putting in my body because once I start, I can't stop. I could understand that when it was shared with me. And again, like, I thought that self-knowledge was enough. Once I learned about that allergy of the body at my first couple meetings, I was like, oh, okay, I can handle this. I just won't eat sugar and flour, and I won't be triggering that allergy, and everything will be fine. And I could stop. I could stop until I couldn't, right? I could stop, but I couldn't stay stopped because I'm a compulsive overeater, and that has nothing to do with my body size. That has nothing to do with my bottom versus another person's bottom. It just means that I'm powerless over food, and no matter how resolute I may be in that I'm done and I'm never picking those things up again and really putting my foot down, there will come a day, unless I'm working a program, that I'm going to pick those things back up again. And, you know, what a blessing to know that today and to be working a program today and to have that insight. But, you know, I have a sneaky disease that also gives me the memory of a goldfish. And by noon today, I can forget all this. And so it's really important that I'm staying close to all of you, staying close to my higher power. But yeah, that self-knowledge, it was not sufficient for me. And I will say too, like, this is a progressive disease.
That's perfect.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks again for everybody doing service.
Thank you, Sophie S. in Tennessee. And then next up, we've got DL, followed by Ken W.H.
DL from Indiana. And thank you, everyone, for letting me do service. And I like that where it says, yes, what you tell us is true, but it doesn't fully apply. I've been in and out of program for quite a few years. And so I was one of the young ones, and now I'm one of the old ones. But I don't really know why. I think I have that built-in forgetter. And, you know, I like the one line, I kind of thought I didn't, lose everything in life. So, I'm not as bad as some. But my one sponsor had told me years ago, well, not yet, because it is a progressive disease. And, I am aware of the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind. I think really life keeps happening this to us. And so we work recovery and then we think we got it. Or I can only speak for myself. I thought I had it. But, we can never really rest on our laurels. We have to do, I sometimes slip back into wanting to treat it like a diet with support instead of a way of life. Because, we do know we have the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind. And it's that twist of the mind that, I'm doing good. But then, when life happens, because life will continue to happen to us, and we have difficult moments. And if we haven't really taken out that insurance policy and put in everything, into the program, like the big book says, making your calls, I got to get out of self. I think really my higher power, who I call God, really is teaching me patience. I would really like things to happen, the click of the finger, but it doesn't work that way. And have humility, that I really cannot do this program by myself. And that built-in forgetter will take me back down as quick as I stop doing the program. So I just really encourage everyone to work their program, like their hair is on fire. And this is Dee from Indiana. And thanks, everyone, for all your service and for letting me share.
Thanks, DL in Indiana. And the next up, we've got Ken WH, followed by Ann M. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. I'm a compulsive overeater from North Carolina. For me, the first the first phrase is the problem. Some of you are thinking, and Ken, you are thinking, and I'm in trouble already because I'm thinking. I need to not be thinking so much about all of this. And I love the way this is a yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, what you tell me is true, but. I have another opinion, but you don't understand. And I've come to learn that when I say yes, but, I'm basically saying, no, I don't agree with you, and here's why, and here's my opinion about it. So I'm in my brain, I'm making excuses, I'm contradicting everything you just said, even though I'm saying yes. It doesn't apply to me. I'm something different. I'm special. I know. I'm smart. I can think. When I first went away to college, I spent a whole lot of time in my addictions, a number of them. And I flunked out, basically. After 2 years, I was gone and went off into some work. But I eventually went back to school and got an undergraduate degree and went to graduate school. And wouldn't you know, I'm so smart that I actually received an Academic Achievement Award. So what are you going to tell me? I won the award, and I'm so smart. And here I am in the midst of my food and making all kinds of yes, but excuses. I needed a kick in the butt rather than a yes, but. I just was so, don't you know who I am? Don't you know how smart I am? Don't you know how much I already know about this program? And I talked myself right into continuing in my illness, in total denial, calling myself a recovering compulsive eater while I'm eating like crazy, and eating before meetings and after meetings. And this is just crazy. And it starts with my thinking. My thinking is twisted, distorted when it comes to food and my other addictive substances, and I'm in trouble as soon as I start thinking my way through this thing. It ain't going to happen. And it didn't happen for me. It wasn't until I fully let go, fully surrendered, fully said, God, I don't have a clue. Help me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Ken WH in North Carolina. And then next up is Ann M. in North Carolina, followed by Allison B. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service this morning. This is Ann M., that's Ann with an E, and I'm from North Carolina, although I'm currently in Vermont. And, I'm just delighted with the shares this morning. Folks have said a lot of things that are true for me as well. And that's the thing about this paragraph that I love, is that initially, when I came in, I was absolutely a yes but person, and I heard only a few truths. You know that phrase we have sometimes: take what you like and leave the rest. Well, I was so busy cherry picking phrases out of this that I was not getting the full and complete message. And that's exactly what led to my relapse. And I am so grateful to be living in recovery now. And I can genuinely say that because every morning I get up and I begin with, you know, what can I read? How can I talk to God and ask to work my program today? And it doesn't stop there. I continue to do it throughout the day, reaching out to people, working the steps, working the tools. And so the thing is that at this point, I can say I am living in recovery because I have gone to the extreme that others have. And while initially I thought I would not, I see that now. And I also, I certainly didn't lose everything, because compulsive eaters don't lose everything frequent, at least for me that was true, not the way my alcoholic sister did. But at the same time, I lost a lot, and my self-respect was certainly one of them. But I have that back now. I am happy, joyous, and free as a direct result of following the directions in this textbook I call the Big Book of AA. And with that, I will pass and share the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ann M. in North Carolina. And then before Allison B. shares, I just want to let everyone know where we are in the book this morning if you hopped on a bit late. So we are in the chapter, More About Alcoholism. We're on page 38 in the third paragraph. Some of you are thinking, and we are reading through that one paragraph. So Allison B., please share with us, and Allison will be followed by Madeline H.
Hi, thank you so much. My name is Allison B. from Florida, and I would like to share on, yes, what you tell us is true, but it doesn't fully apply. When I first walked into the room of OA, I was 20 years old and desperate, but apparently not desperate enough. And honestly, I couldn't even tell you what they told me that first day. And the second meeting I went to, I have no idea what was said to me. My disease was so loud and in my noise, in my ears, and my eyes saw the people in the room, and the thought crossed my mind, I'm not as bad. I haven't gone to such extremes as you, that my eyes did the thinking for me. I couldn't even hear what was being said. And I just really appreciate this paragraph because it brought that knowledge and that experience up back into my memory, and I wanted to share that with you. That's not the case anymore. I fast forward 2 decades, and I finally came back to program, and I was finally ready to hear and not just see with my eyes. And I stopped comparing what I looked like to try to, identify. And I realized that my life, I was in a prison, that I had lost everything, even though it didn't look like I had lost everything, because I lived my life in fear, in anger, in discontentment. I would rather not have the life than the life that I was in. And therefore, I was losing. I had lost my life. And this program gave it back to me. I was a believer already in religion, but didn't understand why my higher power couldn't fix the food until I stopped using my higher power as a gumball machine with dispensing rewards. And when I started listening to my sponsor, and when they said to do prayer and meditation, I didn't want to do it. I hated it. I didn't understand it, but I set my timer for 5 minutes, and then another 5 minutes, and then another 5 minutes. I checked off my boxes, and slowly but surely, I saw the change. It was as if I did the thing I didn't believe until I started to believe it, because it was working, because I was seeing the fruits in my life. And I like to say I gained 9 pounds because this program gave me back a marriage, gave me back my child. I had a baby all within this program, and I'm so incredibly grateful to it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Allison B. in Florida. And then next up is Madeline H., and then we'll take another list of names to share. Good morning, Madeline.
Rita S.
Hi, it's Madeline from New York. This paragraph made me laugh. It was like being a little bit pregnant. Can't happen. Denial is a wonderful gift. It lets you get through what you need to get through when you need to get through it. And if you survive that denial, you come to God reliance. That helps you see and do what you need to do and listen. When I first came into the rooms, I was an absolute mess. And I recovered. I use that word sparingly. I did recover. I lost a lot of weight. And in 25, I had a terrible relapse that took months and months to get out of. And it was put to bed in September 7th, when my original recovery came back. And I am blessed to be here. I am working with what I have the best I can. And for today, I am abstinent, and I don't take that for granted. My name is Madeline, and I pass.
Thank you, Madeline H. in New York. All right, we are ready to take another group of names for people to share. I did hear Rita S., so I've got you on the list. Who else would like to share?
Sima M.
I got Heather K. Someone from Michigan.
Gina.
Vasa.
Okay. I heard someone P, but I didn't get your first name.
Dorita.
Say one more time.
Dorita from Cleveland.
Dorita P. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Okay, great. And then there was someone from Michigan, and I didn't catch your name. Could you try once more?
Jean M. from Michigan.
Jean M. Okay, I've gotcha. All right. Anyone else want to hop in?
I will, Vasa O.
I got you.
Sorry.
So here's what I have. Yep, I've got Rita S, Sima M, Heather K, Dorita P, Vasa O, and Jean M. Did someone else pop in?
Hey, Lindsay, I think it was Aaron K.
Aaron. Okay, got you. I was wondering. Okay, so there we go. Rita S, we will start with you, followed by Sima M. Rita, we're not hearing you, so press star one to unmute.
Okay, can you hear me out?
Yes.
Okay, this is Rita S. in Florida. Boy, denial. Was I ever, ever in denial? And I'll tell you what really woke me up one day. My daughter had come home, and I saw signs of my son-in-law, you know, be an alcoholic, but I wasn't sure. I mean, he made calls to me and cussed at me, and I kept saying to my husband, I should tell her. He says, no, she'll find out on her own. And she came home one day and said, you know, she had to leave him. And he was in such denial. I mean, he said, I went to the meetings, Mom, and I went to, and I just want her back. I said, yeah, but he said, they're all sick and I'm not. And I thought, you know, that's me. He's saying, he's talking about me. How can I judge him? You know, and that really woke me up, because I said, what's the difference what I'm doing than what he's doing? You know, and I just said, you know, recently, enough is enough. I'm on a new food plan that is very difficult, but very constructive, and I no longer want to live in denial. I caused myself a lot of health problems by being in denial, but for the grace of God, I'm moving forward. No more bullshit, period. Just true, honest abstinence, and I'm on a new journey, and I'm very happy for all of you that are here, that are helping me, because if it wasn't for these meetings, I don't know what I would do. So I thank you, and have a God-blessed day, all of you.
Thank you, Rita S. in Florida. And next up, Sima M., followed by Heather K.
What are the good bags, morning, please?
Good morning. This is Sima M., grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery in New Jersey. Very excited to hear all the shares. I first came into OA 51 years ago when I was 23 years old, and I didn't come in to lose weight because I had already lost weight. I came in because I was insane with food, and my therapist told me there was an organization. Shortly after I joined, there was a man from AA who was speaking at OA meetings and talked about the program, the big book, the steps. And I voraciously consumed everything he gave out. But at the time, there were no people. It was in Manhattan, believe it or not, with lots and lots of meetings. But I didn't encounter anyone who was actually working the steps. So I plodded along with periods of abstinence, periods of binging for many years, on and off. I got married in 1978. I still stayed in the program, but eventually I found that this food I wasn't able to stay abstinent, and that I didn't find people that were actually working the steps. So I drifted away. But the message that's given in this paragraph, I mean, I believed everything from the big book. I took it as truth, but I just didn't understand why I couldn't get it as a compulsive eater. Well, I'm grateful to say 13 years ago, I came back to OA after a hiatus, and shortly after that, I found Vision for You, and I felt like I was home again, because here were people that were actually practicing and living the steps. And for the last 13 years, I'm grateful to say I've been recovering, and now I'm living in recovery. I'm very grateful. Have a great day. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Sima M. All right. I believe someone asked where we are in the book, so I'll tell you quickly. Page 38, the third paragraph that starts, some of you are thinking. All right. We've got Heather K. followed by Dorita P. Heather, please let us know where you're calling from.
This is Heather K. I'm a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania, and I think this paragraph and this meeting was, you know, designed just for me because I'm unique and nobody else here has what I have or the brain I have, right? And, you know, that's really what this paragraph is about. And I had a sponsor in the fall in regular OA who, when I had a slip, relapse, whatever you want to call it, said, read more about alcoholism. And I thought she wanted me to go out and do research on alcoholism, like look for scholarly articles. Imagine my surprise when I realized I got that wrong. And I do. I spend most of my time differentiating myself from what I see and what I hear. And yesterday, my husband said to me, I think lovingly, I know you have a brain that thinks you're right about almost everything, and he's not wrong. And I'm a lawyer, and I just wrote in my journal this morning, as folks were sharing, my lawyer brain is great for writing legal briefs. It hurts me in recovery because I look for the distinctions. I look for ways I'm different than others. And the other thing is I have a brother who is has tons and tons of medical issues due to morbid obesity, and I don't have that. And I wrote, don't use your brother as a reason to minimize your illness or your compulsive overeating. And so I'm just so grateful for this chapter this morning and all of the shares. I do love the idea that the first sentence some of you are thinking is exactly where the problem is. When I get up in my head about my compulsive overeating, that's when I get into trouble. And when I look for differences between me and others in this program, that's where I get into trouble. And I have such a puffed up view of myself. So thanks everyone for your shares. And I pass.
Thank you, Heather K. in Pennsylvania. Next up is Dorita P., followed by Vasa O.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Dorita Pippin from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, and I'm really grateful I have a seat here. And thank you so much for all the shares. Wow. You know, a couple things stick out. They're amazing, but the book... Getting back to the book, no, but and comparing, when I came to my first few meetings, I didn't think, in fact, I thought the people were weird. So I'm African American, if you don't know already. I'm African American, and when I came in, I was like in my 20s. I'm in my 50s now, but I was in my 20s, and I went to a sprinkling of meetings before I actually came back a few years later. But the sprinkling of meetings that I went to, so I was young, black, young and black, I guess, female, young and black. But the meetings I was going to were predominantly white middle-aged women, skinny, and they were talking about not eating flour and sugar. I'm looking like they don't eat flour and sugar. Like everything I'm eating has flour and or sugar in it. Like, so what's left to eat? But I'm really grateful that I figured out it was for me. And I am addicted to flour and or sugar, all those combinations of fat and salt and all of that. But I'm just really grateful that I came back and was open enough. But what really saved me was the meetings like this, A Vision for You, the Big Book meetings, where, you know, I was given the 12 steps. And along with the 12 steps, I was given love. And I know that love heals everything. But love healed me of my compulsive eating. And so that's what I try to do today, show people love, whether I feel like it or not, because a lot of times I don't even feel like it. And especially if the person I'm needing to show love to is not showing me love. But I'm really grateful that God gives it to me most of the time, that I can show love and embrace people. And that's where the healing comes from. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorita P. in Ohio. And next up is Vasa O, followed by Jean M.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, moderator. And I am Vasa, grateful recovered compulsive overeater alcoholic from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And before I came to the program, I remember reading it, Dear Abby, in the newspaper, and she said there was a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous that people are having problems with food addiction. And at that time, you know, I was maybe 10 pounds overweight. And I said to myself, well, I probably don't need to go there because these people, they're probably 50 or 100 pounds or 150 pounds overweight. I had no clue about anything, you know, about the program. And I guess I wasn't ready at that time, but it is progressive. And yes, here, some of you are thinking, yes, what you tell us is true, but it doesn't fully apply. We admit it, we are part, some of, okay. I admitted when I came to the program, yes, I can relate. Yes, this applies to me. I've been in the food addiction for 25 years of my life, and I used my own willpower to how to lose the weight, how to, you know, to look good. You know, I came for the vanity. I stayed for the sanity. But it is by the grace of God. I was 41 years old when I came, and I was introduced to the Big Book. And my sponsor was an AA, and she came into Overeaters Anonymous because of the food addiction. That was her number one addiction. And she introduced me. I said, I don't want this Big Book. I'm not an alcoholic. And then, you know, she will cross alcohol with food. And I started realizing I lose yet husband, children, or the house, but I was losing myself in the process. I was 41 years old when I came in the program. No, I wasn't obese. I was maybe 35 pounds overweight, but it is progressive. And I said, if I don't continue this program, I'm going to just die. And I'm grateful. I love the Vision for You. We had Big Book steps that he sponsors before, but not like this meeting that we have every single day. Paragraph by paragraph, it's a miracle. And I've been 16 years when they created it, and we were like only 150 in those years members, and now there's thousands and 12 or 13 thousands. So yes, I was ready and willing to surrender to a power greater than myself, because whatever I was doing, it did not work. And today I'm happy, joyful, and free with the food addiction and with life and life's problems, because I don't run to the food any longer. It is by the grace of God. I get the power, get the strength from my higher power, which I call God today, and working the steps and the program on a daily basis. There's no graduation for me. I'm 81 years old. I didn't think I was going to make my 50th birthday. So please keep coming. I didn't want to go to a relapse because I hear with people that are going to a relapse. So I don't want to ever go back there. So I hope you're getting something from me, because I'm keep on getting something from you. Don't go back to the food. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Vasa O in Massachusetts. Next up is Jean M. Please share with us, Jean.
Hi, this is Jean M. from Michigan, a compulsive overeater. And I want to thank everyone for their service and for all of the previous shares. I just love the big book. And this paragraph, to me, is exactly what I was feeling when I came into the rooms. And the big book is so profound. This paragraph is so profound, and everything in the big book is so applicable. And I just marvel and am humbled by the wisdom that Bill W. and Dr. Bob and everyone that was working on getting this book published. They called my bluff on every score. The symptoms of this disease is in these pages, every single one of them, all of the excuses, all of the rationalizations, all of the doesn't apply to me thinking, all of it is in the pages of this big book, and you can't escape it. If you read the big book and you really take it to heart, you can't escape it. And I just am so, the first time I read the big book, I was just blown away, because it got to the heart of the matter in every single possible way. And I just marvel. I marvel at the wisdom and the spirit and the incredible revelations that are available through the big book. And that's what this paragraph made me think about. How profound. How perfect. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean M. in Michigan. And next up is Erin K. in Michigan. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you so much for your service, and sorry for correcting you when you were completely right. This is Erin K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. And So I'm just going to say the same things in different words. I like this, you know, we understand ourselves so well after what you've told us. And I realized, like, I've come to understand myself really well by repeated failures, you know, and repeated relapse and restart. And anytime I think that rules don't apply to me in any realm of life, I'm in trouble. I love, it's kind of funny, this paragraph, you know, we don't intend to lose everything in life through drinking. And I may not intend to lose everything in life to addiction, but my intention has nothing to do with it. You know, intention is nothing in the face of true powerlessness. The humility of step one is I will lose it all unless I admit my powerlessness and tap into the real power. And that keeps me, and I, you know, this concept has come up and I've really been meditating on it. You know, it's not how to stop from starting up once we put the food down, but for me, getting really granular with it, like, how do I stop from stopping the daily disciplines that keep me stopped and that keep me plugged into that power? And a lot of it is the humility of, me too. I need all of this. I'm not exempt. The rules absolutely apply. And, you know, they do really become the things that I want to do if I surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Erin K. in Michigan. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study that will immediately follow our closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, May 19th, is 23,471. That is 23471.
And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alice G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.